Art Link letter. Remember that? And he would have these kids and he would ask them questions. And one of the questions he would often ask them is, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they would have all these answers about what they thought that would be like. But when they actually grew up, I wonder how many of them were right. How many of them knew they were going to be a fireman or a doctor or a lawyer or an electrician or a pastor or a teacher? How many of them actually knew from being knee-high to a grasshopper to mature? What happens in our life is critical when we realize whose we are. But our world is thinking it's more important to know who we are, our identity. And therefore, in worldly terms, our identity is sometimes totally founded in our occupation, in our profession. Whether you're a teacher, a doctor, or a lawyer, or a pastor, you know, they take on this identity that I am the job. And often then, if that's how you identify yourself, many people have trouble in retirement because they no longer have that job and they no longer have that title, that position, and the work that goes with it. A friend of mine, a colleague, said that nothing prepares you, and he was a pastor, nothing prepares you for retirement. Because in this occupation, you work 6 days a week, other than vacations, and we do get those, and you care for so many people day in and day out that when you retire, it's like you're supposed to flip a switch and you no longer care for those people. You are not the official caregiver. It's entrusted to the next pastor. And they don't know what they do to do with themselves. And so many pastors flunk retirement. Gwen says, I'm going to flunk retirement. That I've been working all my days. And not that I've worked the hardest or the fastest or the best at it, but you know, how do you flip this switch? I think what helps is understanding whose you are instead of who you are, because that's the starting point. Think about how the Bible defines whose you are. There are a couple verses for you. One is from Isaiah 43. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. This is how God identifies whose we are. We are his. Or in Isaiah 62, and they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. That there would be a public declaration that there's a difference in the living and the very identity of God's people. And then Galatians 2. For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Whose are you? We have phrases from a worldly point of view. I'm my own man, right? I'm my own boss. Nobody can tell me what to do. Who made you in charge? Or even, you know, I decide what's true. True for me. Whether it works for you or not, doesn't matter. We have a lot of statements and a lot of attitude and a lot of selfishness, a lot of our sinful nature wants to start with self right here. defining what I am and who I am based on what I want, what I crave, what I desire, or simply what I think. Imagine there's a few people in, not that long of history ago, but if they believed everything the world said about them. One was 5'3", one was 5'6", one was 5'7". And if you looked at these males, you would say, you cannot play professional basketball. But each of these men did. And they had more than a one-hit wonder, a one-year career. Some of them spent 13 years in the NBA. I'm 5'11". I always wanted that. I love basketball. But in God putting me together didn't give me that skill set. It became important that each one of us realize whose we are, and therefore by His voice we learn who we are. So in today's scripture reading, it makes sense only when you start with, by faith, we believe we belong to God. And then God says, you are salt. You are light. And He begins to identify through Christ in the Sermon on the Mount this whole message of our identity. That whose we are connects with who we are in Christ. And with that, there becomes a purpose and a meaning to our very existence. And who we are in Christ can, in a sense, it can change in roles and in influence or in impact throughout our journey. When you're young, you have a different peer group. When you're middle age, you have a different peer group. When you're old, I don't know what you have. I'm waiting to find out. You understand? We have this opportunity to identify what does God mean when God says, and He doesn't lie, that you are to be the salt of the earth or the light of the world. And so there are many sermons written on just one of these instead of trying to combine both. But for us today, it makes no difference what God says if we're still stubborn in our heart saying, I don't belong to Him unless I say so. Or I'm not going to be what He wants me to be unless I like it. Or I'm not going to do what He wants me to do unless I know that I can really succeed. Now, think of how many people in the Bible tried that. How many people in the Bible declared that they weren't going to do stuff? You have this fantastic narrative of Jonah. He was supposed to go to a city that was tough. And Jonah said, of course, I can ace this. No, he said, I ain't going. And he went the other way. Paul, in the New Testament, was chasing after the believers, not to follow their example, but to persecute them, to execute them, to declare a death warrant for them. And God changed that one. Matthew was a tax collector. Basically, in common day language, that means he was a thief. He would take more than he could legally proclaim, but he turned it around and said, this is what I can get. And he figured out how to con people and charge extra. And God says, follow me to be fishers of men. Whatever course you thought you were on when you were young, for those of us who are older, how has God changed that? And how has God used you to impact the people around you, the people that you've come across, and the journey that you're on. When we begin to realize and boldly profess and to confess that we belong to God, our starting point is with the Almighty and with His power and with His love and His truth. Our starting point is with the one who declared as Creator, "Let there be," and there it was. And so He says to each of you, "Let you be." Not free to just do anything you want, but let you to be light. And you are salt. And the salt, in the sense, in a world of hardness, in a world of cold hearts, that's the perfect ingredient. Because if you lived in the north, in fact, we have some, I think, in one of our closets, we have ice melt. You know what basically ice melt is? It is salt. And you put it on the slick concrete and sidewalks, and after a bit, that salt softens the ice, and then you can shovel it away. And in a world of cold hearts, you and I are next to people who do not believe. And God uses us as an instrument of His glory, as an instrument of His truth, to melt that frozen heart. Not that we have the power, but God is using us as salt to be His power in their life. And you are light. And light illuminates, light reveals, light helps make it safer. Light tells the truth in that sense. You know how in the Bible, darkness and sin always go together? Well, light and God's love go together. And you are God's light in a world of darkness, in a world of sinfulness, selfishness, of people trying to hide what they've done and what they want to get away with. You are marvelous in God's eyes because you belong to Him. He's created you. He knew you in the womb. You know, that's a Life Sunday thing, but He knew you before you were born. Our starting point is, what does the world think I should be? It has its own opinions, and not all of them are great. And it isn't about the you know, everybody else's thinking. It's about the Lord your God, who has called you into very existence, who's given you breath and life, eternal life. He's given you life through the Son and the water and the Word, and He sustains that life in the Lord's Supper, the forgiveness of sins, and the hope and the strengthening. This is whose you are. And then after that, we figure out who we are. But our identity begins with God. And our life is always to Him be the glory. Amen.